Hi, this is Perry Cohen, and it's time for the next episode of Conversations with Perry and Friends. On these shows, we talk about interesting topics in healthcare with interesting people. And I'm fortunate to have people that I know that are really smart on healthcare, and they're willing to join me for 30 minutes to have a conversation. Today, we're going to talk, the topic is the changing role of physicians in healthcare. And I've been saving this one for the fourth topic because when you think about healthcare, for most people, it's about a physician. Number two is the hospital, but it's a physician going to the doctor. And what I've been observing for years now is what I call a generational change in the role of physician in healthcare. There's doctors who took care of my parents, they were viewed as God. There's doctors who take care of my daughter, they're viewed as trusted advisors. And there's a lot of doctors who feel their contract has been violated from when they went to medical school, and technology is driving some of that change. So what I did is I went out and got a really smart doc that's a friend of mine who was a practicing physician who now runs a tech-enabled company. And his name is John Bloom, MD. He's the CEO of Podometrics. So John, we'll let you start it off. Can you share a bit about your background and the work you do at Podometrics?
Sure, I'll skip out the part where I was a terrible musician. I'll just say that I started off as a biochemist, originally just found, I was one of the rare people who thought chem and biochem were beautiful, and ended up going off to medical school to try to make a bigger impact on patients' lives. Went to University of Pittsburgh there for 4 years, and then went into anesthesia at Mass General Hospital to try to do anesthesia, and eventually I thought was to do surgical critical care. But there, though, I met one of my attendings at MGH who was at the time, the chief medical officer of a company called Covidien, a big device company at the time. And he suckered me out to be his director of global medical affairs. And that was really my first time just seeing what life was like outside of just the operating room. I'd spent 8 years now building up to that spot, and just got romanced by med tech and trying to work in big companies. I did find the phrases like EBITDA and NPV were giving me highs at the time. You don't learn that in medical school for sure. But briefly then went back to practice at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. And then finally, I'd been deferring for years, came off deferment to go to MIT to try to learn some of this language I was learning in. And then in the course of the third month of school, we founded Podometrics, and it sort of took over my life.
Great, great. What a great story. So, what inspired you to transition from practicing medicine to starting Podometrics? What was the epiphany moment? What happened?
Well, certainly, briefly, what we do at Podometrics, which should kind of give the why that change might make sense. We focus on patients who have fairly complex diabetes to the extent that they can get diabetic foot complications, they can get a number of complications. And we built a device that goes into the home, this mat that they just have to step on for 20 seconds a day. It's all we ever ask of them, and they can go on with the rest of their life. But we're capturing data from the feet, and then we have a care team that looks for these signs of changes, and if we see a change, we're going to try to intervene early to try to prevent potentially the foot ulcer, the amputation, or even any of the other complications that can occur in this patient, cardiac, pulmonary, et cetera. So for me, when I was in, I'll say my real transition, I was a third-year medical student at Pitt. I was in the ER. At this point, you basically still know nothing. And a young man was wheeling in her mother into the bay. And you could see that she, first of all, I could tell she was toxic, got altered mental status, and you saw these thick bandages across her legs. And I realized after we started taking them down, the smell of Pseudomonas and Staph aureus had hit the room. You remember those smells very vividly, and you could see the amount of gangrene that had affected her legs. And I even with my limited understanding, I knew that she was going to lose both limbs and likely not leave the hospital. And that was really the first time I'd seen this complication before that just devastates vulnerable populations. And then fast forward into practice and anesthesia, I could spend whole days in the operating room doing nothing but what felt like at the time Civil War medicine. So I felt like I wanted to be able to try to drive bigger change. Like, here's a problem that maybe I could try to affect the whole problem. I could try to have a much bigger impact than one patient at a time. And that was the hook, a really good problem and this hope to try to do not just something more scalable, something that could have a bigger impact.
Okay, well, that's a very interesting story because we all remember our clinical training and we learn a lot there. So now let's talk about how has the role of physician changed in healthcare since you began your career? Take us on your journey and how you've used it as a practicing physician.
Well, certainly, I think the amount of information to know is now is accelerating. And I remember early on, you were mentioning the provider who may, lack some humility, and they were God of the patient care. And I remember telling him about how much we had to learn, and he took great offense. Look, we knew way much more about medicine. That was terrible. But he insisted he just knew more than I did as this young upcoming through. But it's only accelerating. It's getting worse, this challenge of knowing on top of everything. So I feel like the doctor now has to be the student almost first and foremost, constantly. You have to continue to make sure you're learning with humility what's out there. Patients are far more educated and have greater access to information than ever before. And we're now more partners in their care necessarily than just like we are the driver of what that care is. And now, I'd say we're more immersed in tech than ever. I remember getting my Palm Pilot when it was first coming out in medical training. And now we think about AI decision support tools everywhere. So it's really across almost every dimension. It is a different world today as a provider than even when I was just starting off in med school.
Okay. So tell me, does the technology like Podometrics displace the doctor to some extent?
Now, our hope is to give them more actionable information. Now, I think they're still critical. We might talk about it later. The relationship is so critical. But can I give him or her more actionable information so that they're using their time most effectively to try to drive better outcomes? So to me, it's tech is a great partner to providers, not necessarily replacement. There are some pockets of medicine that probably are threatened by technology, but that's nothing that we do.
Okay. So do you feel you're having a greater impact as an entrepreneur compared to when you were practicing physician?
Well,
Or is it different?
I'll say this. One of the most exciting studies we got to see was in the VA. It was about 1,000 patients. It was a good sized trial. And it showed for every 23 patients we onboarded, we saved a life within 12 months. That was a jaw-dropping stat to get to see. And now I think about in the tens of thousands of patients we get to see, how many lives that means we've been able to keep with us. A father or a mother who gets to still be with their kids. Just because we were there, we were able to be in that home and try to find something early. So I feel like it's a different way. Like it's not the same as holding a patient's hand as we're going to the OR or caring for them in the ICU. But now on a much greater scale, I can feel like I can have an impact. The only challenge is that I'm now far more removed. So I live to hear some of our nursing stories. I don't get to now be the person in the room, but I feel like we as a team now can have a much greater impact.
So when was the last time you actually saw a patient? Mono-a-mono, white coat on, being a clinician.
When we were just sort of founding the company, that was like 13 years ago. It had been a long time. I
Wow.
again, I loved that time. I was never the doc who left medicine because it was just too much, and I missed the good old days. I love patient care. I miss it desperately, but I feel like this was a better fit for me as I just continued to find where my passions, where my values led me, and this has been a great environment for me.
Yeah, I can remember when I worked for a large health insurance company. We had doctors there, and a lot of them, even though they were managed care executives, on Saturdays they would go do rounds at the hospital or something just to keep their hands in it because that's what they want to do. And you're like
Oh, yeah.
that. All right. In what ways has technology affected healthcare, particularly the role of the physician? And I've got five different areas we're going to explore here. Okay, because it's a big area. Technology and the diagnosing of diseases.
Well, I remember when I was coming out, there was an app on the Palm Pilot called Diagnosaurus that would try to give you a differential diagnosis. And the hipper med students and the cool docs, they had much larger differential diagnoses because they knew all the zebras that it could potentially be. And I just remember House MD was so amazing because he had this big differential. But I remember watching shows with my fellow med students and we were picking up even more than he was. Like we knew it was also this rare whatever disease. Now, even more so, I think our ability to use technology to guide better places of inquiry, that next test to order is far more capable. So I think so our ability to diagnose, which is far more aware of what's relevant and the data we have to fit it into that puzzle.
Okay, so now let's move down to advanced imaging and technology there on the practice of medicine.
Well, certainly, I think you can automate a lot of interpretation of a lot of the imaging, which that's some of the areas I think technology has really moved in to displace some provider activity, but also it we can do more powerful imaging in terms of activity-based imaging, where we're looking at metabolic activity in certain regions. I think we're just getting more and more understanding the signals that are emitted from an area you want to image and processing power to understand what's happening there.
Okay, the next piece, robotic surgery.
I think this one's an interesting one. Patient access is something that I obsess on. And now, like, you don't have to necessarily be constrained to where that specialist is. And as we get more here, you can have the specialist in Philadelphia, say, but he can now operate on somebody in San Diego. If that's the right provider, you can connect them now via the robotic capability. So it's the precision and the remote capabilities, I think, we're still seeing its impact.
Okay, so now let's move over to something called electronic health records and how, that's changed the world for the better, maybe not so much for it.
Well, I remember, and I was a resident, even in my early practice, you'd have to hunt through all these paper anesthetic records. I see what happened in that case, and okay, wow, they got in trouble with that airway, and okay, whoa, they got in real trouble here, and you're just trying to page. Now it's so much easier. You have at your access, you have all the information. You can look for patterns, you can look for instances of certain events, and that's far more capability. Like, you're getting a lot more information whether you want it or not, for sure. And those systems can be have a learning curve, but I think it has been a big improvement from peeling open all these old paper charts at Mass General. Oh my gosh.
And then the last one is telemedicine.
I think telemedicine, it's interesting when I think where Medicare is headed here, but I think this helps solve a lot of access. The arrogance to think that they're only going to care when they come to me in my clinic, when I can actually meet them where they are, in their setting, in their home, on their time, potentially, even asynchronously. I think it is still transformative in terms of patient access and our ability to drive better outcomes, but we're still trying to figure out how to best fund it and best utilize it.
Okay, so from a general standpoint, with this all impact of technology in different parts of healthcare, are doctors not as smart or thoughtful as they used to be because they don't need to think on their own?
Oh my goodness. Well, it's interesting. I think we have to still be like really good learners. That your ability to now consume new pieces of information, you're now making more of a puzzle solver, right? I remember you might have remember Cushing's trad, you remember those three things, or the five things that caused this, or you had to memorize all those lists. Maybe we have less burden to have to memorize those four darn things that cause right upper quadrant pain. But like, I think now if we can be a good problem solver, a puzzle solver, doesn't matter what you present with the right tools, we can figure out what's going on. So just sort of shifted, I think, where your process, you're spending your mental cycles.
So it's a tool to the clinical mind. It doesn't replace the clinical mind.
Absolutely the case. You got to still have good processing, and you got to, again, be a very good empathetic listener, make sure you're capturing everything and do good work.
Any worry about depersonalization?
Well, certainly, protocols are extremely powerful because you can standardize, you can study, and you can iterate over time. So sure, I think as we protocolize more and even automate more, you might lose some depersonalization in terms of how we deliver that care specific to them. But I still think we have to make sure that your relationship with them is, you're not depersonalizing that part of that patient care. Because I think we might talk about it again later, relationship drives good outcomes, not some piece of technology. You want to be able to hold that person's hand, whether figuratively or, just be able to say, hey, here's what's going on, here's what I think you need to do. And as a partner, to try to help them along in their health journey and hopefully help them make good decisions. So I don't think it's going to remove that at all, but I do think the more we automate in some ways, it's going to allow for better standardization, but with good data, it's going to, I think, continue to improve our care.
So I'm gonna quote you on this. Relationships drive outcomes.
That's key. I
So how
think there's that pithy statement, would you ever want ChatGPT to tell you of cancer? No, you want hopefully
Right.
someone you know and trust, and you can have a real conversation with someone who's willing to even give you a hug. I mean, it's a powerful moment sometimes here, and I think the provider is as important as ever.
So how do you mitigate against this tendency at Podometrics?
Well, I think I learned early on that cold technology doesn't move the needle. It had to be cold technology, full form technology, but with a relationship. So we really built up this broad care team that interfaces with the patient. And I think there's no more powerful even sensor in the world than a super caring and empathetic nurse armed with really good information. They can follow up in any way they want. They can ask any question. So
Right.
with good technological tools and the power of that relationship and Nancy or George, whoever that nurse might be, it allows us to deliver now far more empathetic care, which I think that's the key for many of our patients.
Okay, so technology's here to stay. It's kind of front and center. So how can physicians incorporate technology into their practice today to streamline their workloads, but also provide better care?
Well, ideally, less process, less busy work. Like
Okay.
none of us, joined medicine to want to do prior auth paperwork. We're trying to spend more time with the patient driving care. And I, but sometimes coding can hold us back. Like I think a lot about some of the, we get paid for some of the busy work. Like for example, RPM coding, you get paid to look at all these blood pressure measurements. But a computer can tell you when there's a problem. You can tell you when this patient's hypertensive or hypotensive. You don't need to look at all these measurements. So I think, we ideally we're going to move more and more towards actionable care. And what AI can do is create a framework like next best action based on these data. This is the next thing you should think about. And I think more automation, repetitive tasks, as we lean into those types of things, and we're going to get it. We're going to spend more time doing the things that we cared about, the reason why we went here, that could be more empathetic and less towards that they get another signature and a piece of paperwork to fill out.
Yeah, I know when they started pay for performance programs, they ended up being paying for process, they said.
Probably it. That
Do
was
our
totally
thing,
it.
just checking the boxes. Okay, so how can healthcare shift its focus more towards preventative care rather than just treating existing conditions?
I still think that we're still largely limited by the face-to-face time, right? I think the great opportunity is in between those office visits. If we can be monitoring for signals early and then bring them in the moment that we need to do something. And potentially avoid the visit when we don't. I think we can do a far better job of orienting our care towards preventative care. But the system we have of spot checks and hoping you catch something, you're going to usually catch it after the fact, after it's already presented, and now you're on a treatment pathway, not a preventative pathway.
So, what do physicians wish payers understood about the burden of administrative work?
Anyways, they reasonably get it, but we simply can't afford to spend so much time outside of patient care. The physician burnout is super real. Again, none of us went into medicine to do paperwork, and I think we have to do a better job about making sure providers can be doing the part that they actually helps move the needle and saves costs and provides better outcomes, and less on this sort of sustaining paperwork around it that's less helpful. It's just part of the process that can frankly be automated, most of it.
Okay. So here's a rhetorical question. Can technology have a negative impact on healthcare?
Sure, I can actually. I can think of a few ways.
Well, lay it on me. Come on.
One is frankly noise. Man, we can monitor all sorts of stuff. We're gonna have so much coming in, whether I'm the patient, and now I have like you give me I have my Fitbit on one hand. I got all this stuff all over the place. So it's just the amount of noise dealing with all of that alone is gonna be burdensome. So ideally, ML and AI can help over time as we try to find what signals are actually have relevance and which ones are just noise. I think we're seeing more misunderstanding with patients. They have access to all sorts of information they didn't used to have. Not all of them are the greatest sources of information. And frankly, I was on ChatGPT last week doing some interesting clinical research, and it was full of hallucinations. It seemed really good until I actually said, "Well, look, I want to read that paper." Couldn't find the paper. Paper didn't even exist. The authors were there. They all existed. That paper never happened. It happened in a number of cases, and I'm fairly savvy. Thankfully, I was able to pick that up. But I think that's going to be a real problem as patients interact with more and more of this information. It's hard to always know what's real and what isn't yet.
Wow. Okay. So now you get to get out your crystal ball. Okay. What do you foresee as the impact of artificial intelligence and machine learning on healthcare and the role of physician 5 years from now, 10 years from now? What's that look
Well,
like?
I think hopefully it's more capable decisions based on far more complex sets of data. this next best action framework that we see in a lot of AI. We've been doing it in the financial services for decades, right? We're not decades. Medicine's just starting to catch up with a lot of these other industries that have been using a lot of decision support based on complex pieces of information. I think that at the end of the day, we still have to make sure that we're still enabling the relationship, though. I don't think you want to have these systems take over a lot of that outer layer that's really with the patient relationship, because I think that part is so powerful in care. It's not just, again, the information that's given to a patient, it's partnership that often gets to the best outcomes. You have to make sure it doesn't get supplanted.
And the last question is, will these technologies ever replace physicians entirely?
Well, I mean, sure, there's a lot that doesn't need to be done by humans. Oh my gosh. We're seeing it in radiology in some cases. I mean, a computer can just look at the scan and say, yep, it looks like it's signs concerning of a potential, who knows what.
Okay.
Pathology, again, we look at all those slides, a lot of that can be automated. And much of anesthesia, frankly, is just feedback loops. Blood pressure goes low, get a little nice, bring it back up. You're just trying to hug these well-known curves, but they can't replace the relationship. So
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to replace physicians entirely. I just don't think so. I think that that's that partnership. You know
Yeah.
that person for a long time, and that's powerful. It's not just a dehuman, just a computer interface. But I think parts of it, sure. And then probably medicine will start to evolve and move more into the areas where we can still provide great impact. So I don't think we're going to necessarily lose that as a field. It'll change over time.
All right. Well, we've come up on the half hour. Any final comments for the audience?
Man, it has never been a more exciting time to be a patient, to be a provider. I'm sure the payer is having a really good time as well. And it's just been amazing to see what technology has done for us. And man, I can't wait to see where it's headed next.
Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for being it. I've learned a lot today, and my takeaway is relationships drive outcomes. Thank you,
Everything.
John.
Thanks, Barry.